Talks to resolve Sudan's political deadlock have started. Military leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan calls it a historic opportunity. But the main pro-democracy alliance is refusing to take part. So what can the discussions achieve? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. Negotiations are taking place in Sudan in the hopes of ending months of political turmoil. The aim is to find consensus on the constitution, agree on a prime minister, and prepare for elections. But the talks hit a stumbling block before they even began. The main pro-democracy coalition is refusing to take part. It says the army must stop arresting people who've been demonstrating against the military takeover in October. The UN has urged Sudanese people to unite and hold talks in good faith. We'll bring in our guests in a moment. First, Hiba Morgan reports from the capital, Khartoum.
Sudanese political parties and the army are coming together for talks. They haven't done this since the military took power 8 months ago. The participants say they want to end a political impasse created by the takeover, which has left Sudan without a fully functioning government and in political and economic turmoil. The United Nations, the African Union, and the regional body IGAD are facilitating the talks.
The aim of this dialogue is to reach a consensus on the constitutional arrangements, agree on a prime minister, and prepare for elections. The tripartite mechanism is only a facilitator. It's up to the Sudanese, who are the stakeholders, to decide on the outcome.
Sudan's transitional period was derailed when the military took power last October. It dissolved a two-year government that was meant to lead Sudan to democracy after 3 decades of one-man rule under President Omar al-Bashir. It also sidelined the political coalition, known as the Forces of Freedom and Change, with whom it had signed a power-sharing agreement after Bashir was forced out. The coalition was absent in Wednesday's talks. A group which split from it and had called for the military to take over attended. Prior to the start of the talks, the head of the army issued a statement of unity, describing it as a historic opportunity to achieve the demands of Sudanese people.
I request all the concerned components to respond to this dialogue and not stand as an obstacle in the path of democratic change and transition. The people and the country deserve to be put above our differences, and we should place the unity and security of the country above political and personal desires.
But the Forces of Freedom and Change Coalition is not the only group that's chosen not to attend.
The groups known as resistance committees, which have been organizing regular protests for months, are also absent from these talks. They've been vocal in their opposition to negotiate a compromise since the military took over last year.
There were more protests on Wednesday against the military's rule. More than 100 people have been killed in anti-military demonstrations, and hundreds of others have been wounded since the takeover. Those behind the protests say only when the military is removed from the equation will they be ready to negotiate on how Sudan's transition to democracy should continue. Hiba Morgan, Al Jazeera, Khartoum.
Months of nationwide protests came to a head in April 2019 when the military removed President Omar al-Bashir from office after 3 decades in power. By August, a 3-year power-sharing agreement was established with Abdullah Hamdok as prime minister. But just more than a year into his term, the military arrested Hamdok and other civilian leaders and seized power, leading to anger on the streets. Since then, the military has expanded its powers. General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan was sworn in as the head of the ruling council. But protests against military rule have been held nearly every week since October. At least 100 people have been killed in a crackdown on protesters. All right, let's bring in our guests. In Khartoum, Mubarak Ardol, Secretary General of the Forces for Freedom and Change National Consensus, a splinter group from the original Forces of Freedom and Change. In Melbourne, Jonas Horner, a researcher and former senior analyst for Sudan at the International Crisis Group. And also in Khartoum, Hajjuj Kuka, a filmmaker and member of nonviolent resistance movement, Girifna. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks so much for joining us today on Inside Story. Mubarak, let me start with you today. I want to ask you about why there are divisions within the main pro-democracy coalition. You're Secretary General for the Forces for Freedom and Change National Consensus. That, to my understanding, is a splinter group from the Forces for Freedom and Change. Why the divisions? Why has there been this split?
The issue of splitting the FFC the Forces for Freedom and Change with between the Central Committee and the National Consensus. It is issues of the decision-making mechanism. It was one of our big problem between the two groups. We started firstly that we need to reform the decision-making mechanism within the Forces for Freedom and Change. We think that since we signed the Charter of Freedom and Change, we were more than 84 groups. Those groups, they were being excluded during the 2 years. We remained only with 4 groups that controlling all the decision-making places and decision-making the connections, until we came out that we need actually to sit and to discuss as a civilian group that we need to reform the Freedom and Change. But what happens? All the effort, including the initiative by the Prime Minister, Dr. Hamdok, the former Prime Minister, the initiative was rejected, the first initiative, and the second initiative also to reform the political issues in Sudan, also it was rejected and hijacked. Mm-hmm. We end up that we need to split, or we need to have our own Forces for Freedom and Change, at least if we are not able to be together. Let us live together, together as two groups, and let us agree on some democratic issues. Let us agree on peace, and let us agree on how to deal with the army, mm-hmm. and let us agree with how to end the transitional period to enter into the election. We think that to remain united, at least we have to have all access to the decision-making mechanism. And we have to decide on the matters that will, mm-hmm. Will take us to end the transitional period peacefully and to enter into the election.
Mubarak,
that election
Mubarak,
will bring all the Sudanese together, not to.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Let me get back to that point you're making about the potential elections shortly. I want to ask Hajjouj. What is your perspective on this? Why is the main pro-democracy coalition refusing to take part in these talks? And how much does that complicate things?
Okay, so let's make it very clear. There's been 101 martyrs killed by the forces, the army, the security forces, the police, and whatnot, protecting this coup that happened on October 25th. So after 101 people dead, that talk about the reason, this political reason that Mubarak articulated, which is true, does not matter. What happened was the coup. The coup caused all these deaths. The coup halted the government. Right now, we do not have a prime minister. We do not have a government for a very long time. The economy is really bad. There's thousands of people who are injured. There was hundreds of people in jail, detained, who went through torture. Most of them are out now, but there's a few. There's a 17-year-old now that is facing an unjust trial for supposedly killing a police officer, which obviously he didn't do. So obviously the street has real legitimate reasons to not just want these people, the coup, to stop, but also the people who are heading the coup. Mubarak is one of them, but mainly we're talking about the army, the police, the whatnot, Hemeti, Burhan, Yasser Atta, they all need to go into courts and to answer to all these people who were killed, to the coup itself, and to all the atrocities that are ongoing right now. This all what we're saying is ongoing. After now, there's the talks that are going on with the UN and whatnot, mm-hmm. but there's still arrests. So yesterday there were arrests. Today there's protests out in the street. I'm in a car because I just walked away from a protest. And the security forces are actually still beating it up and not giving us the freedoms and the rights to talk. So obviously there's something really bad. So right now, what we in the street are talking, we have the three no's, and they're very clear. Well, we do not want any negotiation. We do not want a partnership with the army. And we do not want to legitimize this coup. So what we want is for this army to give up power to the institution that is the army, mm-hmm. and then we will talk to this institution. But we're never going to talk to Burhan, Hemeti, or Yasser Atta, or the rest of the people who are articulated and killed all these people and caused the coup and stopped the political civilian methods of fighting.
Jonas, you've heard both sides of this discussion thus far. The fact of the matter is the forces for freedom and change, this is the main bloc, the main coalition when it comes to the opposition. If they're as split as they are, how do things move forward? How does this dialogue actually achieve results?
Well, without the FFC, it's very hard to really move forward productively in this transitional process. In short, yes, talks, you know, would have real trouble moving ahead. The FFC, as your previous guests have mentioned, you know, was integral to the constitutional declaration that allowed a couple of years of transitional movement under Prime Minister Hamdok, and essentially the FFC would like to see a return to October 24, the day before the 25th of October coup. There's an interest, I think, in seeing a more sequenced approach to things, you know, in terms of, you know, first of all, reversing the coup and then thinking about things like formation of the executive, formation of the transitional legislative council, and then thinking about forming a new constitution. The problem, I think, we're here talking in the shadow of talks from the trilateral mechanism of AU, IGAD, and the UN. And I think the problem, one of the problems for the FFC, perhaps, of not joining, which is a bit of a false narrative, is that the military now somehow looks like the adults in the room because they attended the talks. But, you know, the methodology was not agreed by the FFC in the first place. And I think that is something that really needs to be prioritized. There needs to be a methodology that the FFC buys into and therefore can feel comfortable coming to the table on. The last thing I would say is, you know, as Hajuj said, the playing field is not even between these various political players. The arrests, the intimidation, the killings, those do not present the sort of context and platform for an equitable and good faith dialogue, as Volker Perthes, the SRSG, has asked for.
Mubarak, you have been involved in the talks thus far. What has been discussed? Has anything been agreed on yet? And to your point earlier, you were talking about the potential for elections. Does it look to you at this point as though there will be a timeline announced for elections and that they will take place in a transparent fashion?
Actually, let me just say some words before answering your question. Concerning the issue of how to identify or to nominate this situation in Sudan, I will call it, we were having a partnership between the civilian and the military. The civilian government, it was not elected, and the military, they are not supposed to be in power. Due to transitional requirements, all of us, we came together, we agreed on 2019 that we have to lead this era, and we call it the transitional period, that it was for 4 years. And during the transitional period, the military, they were having part of the government, and the civilian, they were having part of the government also. Then what happens, we think that on 25th of October 2021, it was disengagement. We don't call it a coup, we call it disengagement and ending the partnership between the civilian and the military. The problem, it was, why this disengagement, it was so hard? Because when we had the agreement together on 2019, it was between the FFC, it was only bilateral agreement between FFC and the military. It wasn't multilateral, and we ignored, actually, during that time, we ignored other political forces. We say now, let us have a collective of political forces whom were participating during the struggle against the Bashir regime. Let us have all of them on table, and let us together agree on how to complete this transitional period. What was happened yesterday, we tried to bring all the groups together. Mm-hmm. We need to not to exclude any one of the groups. We need to bring them together, and we agreed that the trilateral mechanism, the UN and the IGAD and the African Union, they have to be facilitators. We agreed yesterday to have to nominate national figures between all the groups to be together. Those national figures, they will lead the discussion and they will lead the dialogue. And we call it a Sudanese-led Sudanese dialogue. Mm-hmm. And the trilateral mechanism, they will be facilitating. We agreed that let us communicate to the others group that whom are not joining, let them join. Whom they boycotted the opening session of the dialogues, let them join, mm-hmm. and by their attendance, we will have a vast and we will have a comprehensive discussion between all the Sudanese, and mm-hmm. this is for the first time the Sudanese to sit together after the independence from the British colony. We think that we have. To have a dialogue that
Mubarak, I'm sorry
to rule the government of Sudan.
Mubarak, I'm sorry to interrupt you again. It's just that we are starting to run out of time. Hajjuj, you heard Mubarak there with some of the overtures that are being put forward to get more people involved in this dialogue, more groups. What's your response to that? And secondly, as you mentioned earlier, these talks are happening as protests continue. I mean, you yourself are either on the way or next to a protest right now. Crackdowns, as you said, are still going on. Do you expect that the protests are going to grow?
The protest is definitely going to grow. Right now, we're working on having a big day on June 30th. Today's protest is one of the smaller distributed protests. People are excited. I mean, the only reason Mubarak Ardoul is in Khartoum and is in power is because of the revolution in the beginning. So what happened was a revolution that placed these people in power, and now they orchestrated a coup and stopped this. By this partnership with the people who are oppressing us and killing us. So definitely, people were not going to join this. The revolutionaries were not going to join this. One of the biggest groups that are organizing the protests that I'm part of is called the Resistance Committees. And the Resistance Committees is this super revolutionary body that is becoming more and more organized. And now we have a charter. And basically, any person in Sudan who's in your neighborhood can join their Resistance Committee. Mm-hmm. And these resistance committees are actually calling for all these protests. So the protests are becoming stronger. There's unions who are now organizing. So things are becoming more organized, stronger. It's been a while. Since October 25th. But let's remember the first revolution against Omar al-Bashir also took 9 months. And people are really, really strong against this. The big thing that's going to change that's coming up. And that's the reason why the army is trying to give up and trying to have a negotiation really quick. And people like Ardoul and whatnot is the economy. Because of what happened in Ukraine and everywhere, the prices of fuel has just increased a lot in Sudan. Electricity is increasing. We're really feeling the grudge of all that. Our local currency is about to collapse. So this is the reason why they need the international community. Mm-hmm. They need the international community to come and help. And they need to return and for debt and all these things. So this is why they're talking, not because they feel like they want democracy. They want to stay in power and they want to hold on to power. And what the revolutionaries want, we want real democracy, real institutions, starting with the army as one institution, not as what we have right now, almost 7 armies in Sudan.
Jonas, the military, of course, had been under a lot of international pressure to lift the state of emergency. That was done late last month. The fact that they did that, what does that indicate to you going forward? Is there a real realization or perhaps even a worry amongst military leaders in realizing that they do need more international support going forward?
Well, the lifting of the state of emergency was pretty symbolic, and as Hajjuj just said, that there's been killings and arrests and crackdowns since then. So it's been hardly a magnanimous a gesture. I think that, you know, one of the real ineluctable truths of Sudan's revolution and its subsequent transition is that, you know, essentially all the actors, whether you're an old guard Islamists, whether you are from the rapid support forces, whether you're from the military, resistance committees or the FFC, whichever stripe that is, you know, all agree that elections are necessary. And that, you know, among very few bright points is something that is quite incredible that everyone agrees on. And what is happening as a result of that ineluctable truth is that all of these stakeholders are working very hard to make the playing field as even or as favorable for them as they can. And that is, I think, what we're talking about here around these talks, around protests, and around the sort of trilateral mechanism that the UN, AU, and IGAD are trying to put together. You know, the NCP, the All Guard Islamists, have been invited in many ways back into the scene by the military because the military are unsure of themselves politically and are concerned about General Hemeti of the Rapid Support Forces. And the NCP also wield incredible money and political nous and skill that they feel very confident in. The FFC, you know, they feel that they have the weight of their old political parties behind them, and therefore they feel that they should run the process. Resistance committees bring a lot of popular power to the table, and the military brings its own brute force. And all of these different groups are trying to bring their comparative advantage to bear mm-hmm. on the process to actually indeed ultimately have what could be called by the international community and domestically a credible political outcome.
Mubarak, how long do you anticipate that these talks will last, and what do you think the best possible outcome could be?
I think for the issues of those whom are those of Hajjuj on the streets, they don't have a clear vision how to bring democracy in Sudan. They're only moving from one side, that they have to remove everyone from the floor, and they have to fix themselves. And we think that this it was happening since the independence of Sudan. The Sudanese, they have to come together, all of them to come together to discuss about the future and the current situation of Sudan. You cannot fix your own system alone, rather, whether you are resistance committee or any old political parties. For us, we think that the revolution, we participated in the revolution since 2000 and since 1980s and 80s, we have been participating in the revolution to bring down the regime of Bashir. So the groups, they came out on April, they came out because they knew that khalas, the Bashir regime went over and they cannot come back again. Other issue, for us, we think that the military, they have the role, they play the role, they played good role during April 2019, and they participated in the revolution to remove Bashir's regime. No any revolution or no any transitional period can be successful without the involvement of the army. We think the army, they can be participated until the end of the transitional period, until we come to the election. For what we think that the discussion now, what is going on, we will agree on some procedural issues now, and people are going on now, the committees are working, and we'll bring the others. This is the only way to solve the problem of Sudan, to solve it through the dialogue. The revolution, it was against the regime that was not able to respond to the democracy and to the freedom of people. Now, there is no government. What is going on and what is there, it is a caretaking government that you cannot call it a government, because we think the government, it will come after the consensus between the people. The caretaker government, they don't have any intention to continue on power like Bashir's regime. And now it is better for Sudan and for the neighboring countries and for the regional and international to help the Sudanese to come together into the consensus, at least the enough consensus, not complete consensus, enough consensus that will lead the transitional period until they go to the election.
Hajjuj, so the United Nations, the African Union, they're facilitating these talks. How big of a role are they playing, and what kind of pressure do you think they can bring to bear? And please just keep in mind, we only have about a minute and 30 seconds left.
Okay, they have a big role. And the international community has a big role. As I said before, the government really needs the international community to bring them back into fold so they can play a positive role. Right now, the role they're playing is not that positive, because they actually do not believe in the revolution and do not believe in Sudan can reach a democracy. And they believe that the army needs to be there. Once they believe that the army is an institution and actually they can be changed, the players right now, the names need to go to jail. We need to have justice. You cannot have peace without justice. So if they start thinking that justice is something that Sudanese people deserve, and the revolutionaries are serious, and the revolution will continue, and this is not a solution, then they can talk about an exit strategy for these people, and let's have a new institution, and then we can move forward. Without talking about an exit strategy for Burhan, Himeti, Yasser al-Atta, and all of them, you cannot go forward. Nobody is going to come into this come and sit with them, because we need justice. Justice is a prerequisite to going forward. This revolution is real, and the people are behind it.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there today. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Mubarak Ardol, Jonas Horner, and Hajjuj Kuka. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. For me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here in Doha, bye for now.